Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's game day for the Hoosiers, of course, tonight on the road at Minnesota, fighting for their postseason life. I read that this morning in a story previewing the IU game tonight, and I think that's a tremendous way to describe this Indiana team and what's ahead of them tonight. Minnesota, a team, again, ups and downs and not playing its best basketball at this time, an opportunity for Indiana if they can play decent, maybe, and if they cannot be absolutely terrible, absolutely dismal on the defensive end of the floor, perhaps an opportunity to go in and get a road win tonight, which is something that doesn't happen a lot in the Big Ten Conference. And for this Indiana team, it essentially has happened one time this season in conference play. So a win tonight is huge, I think, for Indiana as far as moving along in the postseason discussion and opportunities for the big dance. A loss and things get even tighter as far as opportunities for losses and mistakes the rest of the way. I think tonight, no matter win or lose, will be a close game. The Barn in Minnesota, I believe its official name is Williams Arena. It is a tough place to play. And historically, I think yesterday or Monday, Zach Osterman touched on this, but it historically has been a difficult location for Indiana to play in, to win in, no matter what type of team they have. And so obviously that's something I'm sure historical that you think about going into the game tonight. But if you look at Minnesota, if you look at their last four or five games, is it four losses and five games, I believe, things have not been great for the Gophers as of late. And so we'll see what Indiana can do. Of course, Indiana coming out of a really bad performance, especially on the defensive end of the floor on Sunday afternoon in Ann Arbor against Michigan. Welcome to the show. We do this each weekday, 11 o'clock, complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers. Excuse me, sports from a Southern Indiana perspective as well. 11 o'clock live, 3 o'clock replay, podcast available each afternoon. We're on Apple Podcast and SoundCloud, and we appreciate you no matter how you are joining the program today. Last night, a busy night for a Tuesday as far as high school basketball goes. We'll talk about that coming up here in just a bit in our headline segment. Later in the program, we'll be joined in segment two as we take a look at today's show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany after our Zaxby's headlines. A look at IU Minnesota tonight, a look more at some high school results and highlights from last night. We will look ahead to later in the program where Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic will join us. And, of course, with Dustin, we'll talk lots of IU. We'll talk Big Ten. We'll talk tonight's game at Minnesota. We'll talk college basketball as a whole. And I also want to talk some generally about the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament with Dustin when he joins us today. Excuse me. All choked up this morning. Then later in the show, we will be joined, as always, and I say as always, but we'll be joined by the News and Tribune sports editor in our segment presented by Major League Shirt Company, where we highlight some of the local sports headlines going on. New sports editor, however, last week we told you that Craig Pearson had taken another job in the marketing department at the News and Tribune. He'll still keep a watchful eye on sports with the Netsbys and other events. But Josh Cook, who has been in the high school sports and journalism scene now for many, many years at a couple different places, has been bumped to the sports editor. So congratulations for Josh. Great writer. Knows the area, knows all the coaches and players well, and will, I assume, be a seamless transition for the News and Tribune as they continue to cover sports great here in the area. And Josh will join us later in the program in studio as we take a look at some of the headlines locally in sports coming up here later in the program with Josh Cook, and that segment presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. That's a look at the show lineup for today. Don't forget to visit your local Honey Baked Ham store and receive $20 off any bone-in ham. Also, buy one, get one free ham bones. That's while supplies last, all for a limited time at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget today you can submit a comment or a question for our guest, or it might get read on the air today. You can follow me on Twitter at Hoosier Hills. Again, at Hoosier Hills, all one word, Hoosier Hills on Twitter. And on Facebook, we have a page for the show, The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You can like it. You can get links to podcasts. You can get updates on the show. And you can also leave us your comment or question as a message on our Facebook page as well. Let's dive into some Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. A number of things to get to, some high school stuff last night. Floyd Central hosting Brownstown last night. Not your normal Brownstown team. They have been a factor in Southern Indiana basketball, especially in 3A basketball now, under head coach David Benner for a number of seasons. A little down this year. They were still competitive with Floyd Central in the first half. In fact, it was just a one-point lead for the Highlanders last night heading into the halftime break. Second half, much different. Floyd Central able to put some space between them and Brownstown as they puttered off a bit. Jake Heidbreeder, he led the Highlanders with 20 points. And Caleb Washington, just a freshman, 16 points for Floyd Central in the game last night. A very balanced Floyd Central scoring attack in the win last night over Brownstown. It won't be long. We'll be talking about the pairings. Don't forget about that coming up on Sunday. And, of course, everybody really interested, I think, especially in Seymour with New Albany, Jeff, Floyd Central, even Bedford in the mix there. How those pairings shake out. And we'll have the pairings for you Sunday. We'll carry the broadcast from Indianapolis from 3 to 5 p.m. And then starting at 5, Lee Kelly and I will have a local pairing special where we'll hear from some local coaches, get reactions on the tournament draw, all of that coming up Sunday. Other high school action last night. I tell you what, I did this game one year on the Big X. Christian Academy of Indiana played at rival Christian Academy of Louisville last night. Steve Kerberg, the Indiana coach, Bryce Hibbard, a great coach in Louisville and in Kentucky, the Christian Academy of Louisville coach. It was a overtime game last night. Christian Academy of Indiana won it 80-78 in three overtimes last night. A thrilling game. Some big performances last night once again from Bailey Conrad and T.J. Proctor for Christian Academy of Indiana in the win over their rival from the same Christian Academy school system. And oddly enough, I don't know, Doug, you might remember, it's been 4 or 5 years ago, Lee Kelly or Paul Love and I did the same game from Christian Academy of Indiana, and I want to think it was a four-overtime game.
It was at least three, if not four. Yeah. You've talked about that.
Crazy. I never had been a part of a game, at least calling it on the radio, that went that long. But so when those two hook up, you know, you've got the pride on the line, the same school system. You've got Indiana versus Kentucky. They have been some really good matchups, and last night was no difference. Again, 80-78, Christian Academy of Indiana victorious in a close one last night. Also, Clarksville playing North Harrison last night. Good challenge for the Generals as we head into this home stretch of basketball here this season, at least regular season basketball. And Clarksville kept an eye on that game last night. They kept it really close with North Harrison throughout the contest. North Harrison squeezed out for the win at the very end, but still a very close and competitive game. Good performance last night for the Generals despite the loss. And Steve Kerberg, the coach at Christian Academy, he must be listening from school today because he said, Matt, that was 8 years ago. So we were a little off on the time frame, but 8 years ago it was a four-overtime game when Christian Academy of Indiana and Christian Academy of Louisville hooked up. That's a look at some of our headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. Our headlines each day are brought to you by Zaxby's, the home of famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, fresh salads, and saucy wings, all made to order at Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. One more time, don't forget coming up on Sunday, We have the IHSA tournament pairings from Indianapolis. Will carry the full draw, 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A, from top to bottom on Sunday afternoon from 3 to 5 p.m. That comes from Greg Rakestraw and Coach Bob Lovell in Indianapolis. And then we'll follow that up locally beginning at 5 o'clock with our own tournament pairing special here with coaches from Clark and Floyd counties. We'll get some of their reactions, not only on how the draw, how the pairings for the sectional shake out, but how the season is going as we enter the final few games at that point. Basically 1 week of the regular season left once we get to pairing Sunday coming up this week. So a reminder to make sure you tune in for that. It's always fun each year to bring you the pairings and then to follow it up with reaction from the coaches and others here in the area. So we'll do that once again. I'll have more details coming out soon as far as which coaches we're asking to join us this year. We try to get a couple at least from each of the area sectionals that include local teams. And so we'll be putting that together here very soon and look forward always to that broadcast. And, of course, look forward to this time of year. I say it a lot. We've got the Big Ten season wrapping up. Indiana, for fans of area basketball and IU fans, probably can't enjoy this time as much as they wish because the Hoosiers seem to always be on the brink of getting in, not getting in, maybe even destruction at times with how this Indiana team plays and how Devontae Green is so up and down. But it's a great time of year with college basketball heading for the home stretch. You got the conference tournaments coming up. Of course, we've got high school stuff. The girls' tournament is underway. Jeffersonville hosting a really good girls' semi-state on Saturday. A couple good games there. I think it's the 2A and 3A, or excuse me, the 3A and 4A games, if I am correct. Salem, of course, one of the local teams still around, they will play in that semi-state on Saturday. But just a good time all the way around. And then when the boys' state tournament gets here, the sectionals get underway, it even adds to it. So plenty of basketball coming up, which is how I know we all prefer it be. A great time of year here in southern Indiana. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic joins. We'll talk IU Minnesota. We'll talk the IU struggles here recently. And, of course, the age-old conversation, it seems, what Indiana has to do in Dustin's estimation to get into the NCAA tournament. And as we ask different guys this question, you find out just how very tight the margin for error is for the Hoosiers. We'll talk that and more with Dustin. Still ahead is Josh Cook of the News and Tribune as we talk local sports headlines presented by Major League Shirt Company. All ahead on a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back to this Wednesday edition of the program. We are having problems connecting again with Dustin Dopierak. I believe that he may be traveling to the game tonight. So we'll continue to try to reach him. In the meantime, here coming up in just a few seconds, we're going to play Greg Doyle's segment from yesterday. Pretty entertaining. If you missed our show yesterday, Greg had some very interesting things to say about Devontae Green, about IU basketball, and he had that question that Greg took some crap over, to be quite honest, after the IU-Iowa game when Devontae had a big performance in the post-game press conference. He, and I'm paraphrasing here, asked Devontae, where do you go? Where do you disappear on some games? Other games you have this big outpouring of points and a great performance, and other games you have 1, 2, 3 points in the box score. And so he took some heat over it, I guess, from some fans. But interesting conversation with Greg about that and a number of other things as well. So in lieu of Dustin, who we are unable to connect with so far today, here's Greg Doyle, a replay from yesterday, our Tuesday show here on the Hoosier Report. And we're back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. They want to invite you and everyone to their newest location in downtown New Albany. They've turned their own bakery at 140 East Main Street into the fifth Coffee Crossing location for you to enjoy. Greg Doyle, sports columnist with the Indianapolis Star, with us on Tuesdays. And Greg, as we head into another Indiana game coming up here very soon, is Indiana on the road at Minnesota. This team is desperately trying to hang on and find a way to get to the NCAA tournament after a great win and a wonderful performance by Devontae Green last week against Iowa at home. A very dismal effort, especially defensively, on the road Sunday at Michigan, and this Indiana team lost badly as they get ready for Minnesota now. Indiana is truly a roller coaster. Archie Miller said that last night on his very own radio show, and that's truly, I think, what you could say this season has been for the Hoosiers, maybe the last couple seasons for Indiana.
Yeah, and maybe even the season that cost Tom Crean his job. It's weird how the same issues that plagued Crean, which are, you know, a team that doesn't really seem to care a whole lot and a team that can't defend, are plaguing this one. And it kind of makes you wonder, is there something about coming to IU where, because the tradition is so great, and yet the players that come here aren't, you know, 12 McDonald's All-Americans. Like, you know, Duke has tradition, and Carolina and Kentucky. North Carolina's a bad example this year, but they then bring in, you know, seven McDonald's All-Americans, seven future pros, and it really doesn't matter how much they try because they're everybody else. Guys come to Indiana with all that tradition, and you can't, but they're not that great, and you wonder, do they come here not realizing that you haven't arrived yet and you're not good enough just to roll the ball out there and be good? I don't know. I might be making too much of it, but it's just very strange to me that you almost wouldn't even tell, except for the offense looking different, it's the same problems with both coaches.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, our guest here on this Tuesday. Indiana is going to be, I mean, I guess if there's a positive to this, and this is from maybe a fan perspective, I don't know, the rest of the way, every single game is truly a must-win game. And you hear that term so often in sports or in a conference race or whatever the situation may be, NCAA tournament race to get to the tournament. Oh, this is a must-win game tonight. And it's, I feel like it's just simply an overused term. And I hate when I use it on this program. But last year, as we approached this part, the middle of February, the last week and a half or so of February through the rest of the season, the end of the conference play, and this year as well, I don't know any way around describing these upcoming Indiana games and a couple that have already happened now as must-win games, must-win opportunities for this Indiana team if they're going to get to the tournament.
Yeah, and the games on the road, are a couple of them are more must-win even than home, just because if you're going to pick, obviously you want to win them all, but if you're going to pick which ones they really need, they need some road wins. As they slide closer and closer to the bubble, and they're there right now, you know, something has to differentiate in terms of, for the selection committee. Well, who do we pick? And assuming they're tied with the team or almost tied with the team that has won anything outside of its home arena, that's the team that you pick, because the tournament's not played at your home arena. IU hasn't proven it can win anywhere but Assembly Hall. Nebraska doesn't count. They got to beat somebody good on the road, or it really doesn't matter what happens at home.
Greg Doyle with us, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, I want to talk Devontae Green, and that's a familiar subject on this show because, my goodness, sometimes he absolutely is a star and does amazing things, and other times you wonder where he's at, or if you're watching the same player, for example, from the Iowa performance he had to the Michigan game on Sunday, you wonder if you're watching the same guy play. I watched the Iowa game on the Big Ten Network, and I left the television on, was at the desk doing some work, getting ready for the show the next day, and the press conference is on, and Devontae Green's taking some questions, and I hear Greg Doyle's voice, so I actually stop what I'm doing and pay a little closer attention to the post-game presser, and you could tell us more about your exact question. I don't have it verbatim in front of me, but you took some heat from people I know on social media and maybe otherwise for a question to Devontae Green, but I thought it was a question that, given the ups and downs and how great the ups are and how bad the downs are, was a pretty fair question.
Well, it's the question that defines not just his season or his career, but it really has defined this IU season. You know, a team is a team, and no one player, although I'm about to make this maybe not true, at least in my own words, you don't blame any one player or credit any one player for any one thing, but when you're really close to winning a lot of games, and you don't, when you've got one guy that, you know, doesn't, one guy that's capable of giving you 15 or 20 every night, and he does sometimes, and when he does, you win, and when he doesn't, you tend to lose. I decided they wouldn't be on the bubble right now if Devontae Green didn't deserve the question that I asked him, which is, you know, what I asked him is something along the lines of Devontae, because he had a great game, and everybody's asking him questions, and they're just loving him, and I like him, but at some point I thought, this is enough, you know. So I kind of warned him in advance, Devontae, I'm coming at you from a different angle here. When you don't have a game like this, where do you go? And then I said, for example, in case that wasn't clear, I said, you know, for example, the Purdue game, because the Purdue game is before Iowa. He scored 3 points. So he goes three against Purdue, 25 against Iowa, three against Michigan. Those are three games in a row. And that's typical. And anyway, where do you go? People didn't like that. So then he said, well, would you elaborate? And I said, okay, I'll elaborate. I basically said, I mean, I told him, you're an NBA skill. You have NBA skill. You're too good to have games where you score 3, 2, 1 points. Why does that keep happening? And then he gave me an answer. People didn't like the tone. They didn't like the question. People are soft. People, and not everybody. I got a lot of IU fans. I had IU coaches, two of them, thanking me for that question because they said, we tell him this every day in practice. Maybe he'll listen to you. And they were serious. Not that I'm going to solve their problems, but just that they can't get through to Devontae that you can't do this. So I had IU coaches, I had IU administrators reaching out to me when they saw the heat I was getting, saying, hey, we love the question. It was very fair. The irony is that if people that treat these athletes like superstars, you know, they put them on a pedestal, they spend a lot of money to watch their games, and I get that. You spend a lot of money to watch games, you follow them on Twitter, you want their autographs, you know, you look up to them. All that's cool, but you can't have it both ways. What you can't do is treat them like something that big, and then when they're not very good, get mad at me because they're just kids. Well, if they're just kids, then you're creepy for giving them that much attention. But they're not just kids. They're grown men. Devontae Green's 23 years old. God, I mean, he's older than, like, NBA All-Stars. He's 2 years older than Luka Doncic. Luka Doncic is 20, can't even buy a drink in this country. Devontae, he's 23. He's just a kid. He's not just a kid. He's an IU senior captain. You know, this isn't a kid at Mount St. Francis or, you know, name some small school, the Citadel. But this is a kid at IU, okay? He's going to score 1,000 career points. He's not scared of me. So I don't want to hear from people that it's too soft and yada, 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 or that it was too hard and yada, 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 because people, I mean, you can think that all you want. You can also think 2 + 2 = 7. In both cases, you're wrong.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Good stuff. I appreciated the question. I guess with Devontae Green, the frustrating thing is you see, and you said it best, I think, in your setting up your question or elaborating on your question, you know, you have NBA skill. Not only is this a guy that's a scorer that can get hot, that has some great moves at times, that you know, can really distribute the ball at other times, this is a guy that has true skill. He's, I mean, obviously his brother Danny Green is in the NBA, was courtside for the game that you asked this question afterwards. But I think that is what is so frustrating. He's not just a guy coming out occasionally having a big game or filling a big role for the team. He legitimately has the skill, but there's absolutely zero consistency with him. And that's one thing when you're an underclassman or even a junior. But when you're a senior and this is your team and the team often goes in big games as you go, it can be ultra frustrating for fans, and I'm sure I can't even imagine for coaches around it every day.
And here's what's great, really great, and I want people listening to actually pay attention to this part because this is going to, I mean, it ought to blow you away. And if you're mad at me, it ought to end it right now. Listen to this very carefully. The question I asked Devontae was, you know, word for word, where do you go? Where do you go? 10 minutes later, this is before Archie speaks to us. So Archie hadn't spoken to us yet. 10 minutes later, Archie comes into the press conference room and is asked all these glowing questions about Devontae. And if you read Archie's transcript and you listen to that press conference, he spent as much time down on Devontae as up. For the same reason I was asking the question, because he's like, he's too good for this to not happen all the time. And then he said at one point, he goes, he has games where he is the best player or he's an All-American. And then he goes, and then he has games, and listen to me carefully, people, Archie Miller, on his own, said, then he has games where you wonder, where did he go? That was the exact question I asked Devontae Green, where do you go? And Archie parroted it, and he didn't hear me, and he didn't take it from me. It's just, that's how obvious it is. But I'm a bad guy for asking a 23-year-old, where did you go? I guess the better thing, and so people may move the goalposts. Well, you shouldn't. He's a kid. Don't do that. No, he's not a kid. Okay. Well, you wouldn't ask a Purdue player that. Well, guess what? 1 week earlier, I asked Purdue's Aaron Wheeler, where do you go? And I put that in my story. You can go Google that and find it. So, yes, I would ask a Purdue player. They move the goalposts some more. Yeah, well, don't ask him that after a win or a big game. Okay, so in other words, what you're saying is when he has a game where he scores zero and they lose by 12, that's when you want me to say, hey, Devontae, where do you go? You want me to blame the loss on him? It's probably easier to handle a question like that after a win than a big loss. And furthermore, IU doesn't make players available when they score 0 points in a loss. They don't bring that kid in. So move the goalposts all you want, whoever's mad at me. The bottom line is this. You can't handle the players that you look up to being asked tough questions, which makes me think you're kind of creepy if you look up to them that much, but they're not adults. Which one is it? You can't have both ways.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Good stuff. And
I mean, you can tell I'm mad about this, but I'm mad about this. Like, this is my job. It's my entire job, my entire profession, my entire business, the way I define myself, but damn near my entire life. And I got people telling me I'm doing it wrong, and we're not speaking the same language, because the thing is, the folks that are defending, and I get fans being fans, I get it, just you can't have it both ways. People are treating this or any argument in the world, they're not treating it like a jury or a judge, a jury. They're treating it like a prosecutor. Whatever the facts are that they like, they use those facts. Whatever the facts are that they don't like, they don't use those facts. So they're talking to me from that angle, like, hey, here's all the facts that I like, you're wrong. But I'm the prosecutor and the defense attorney. I got all the facts. I got them on both sides, and we're not speaking the same language. It's why in this country you got everybody who likes Trump thinks he's never wrong. Everybody who hates Trump thinks he's never right. Same thing with Republicans, Democrats. My side's always right. Dummy, your side's not. Nobody's always right. Their side's always wrong. Dummy, nobody's always wrong. Their side isn't always wrong. The whole thing kills me. People are talking their language, thinking I'm going to understand what I don't understand what you're saying, because 2 + 2, it's not 7, not tomorrow either.
I love it. Greg Doyle ranting. I love it. It's good. But I agree with you wholeheartedly on the Devontae Green thing. And I'm not surprised that you get beat up on, especially on social media, over something like that. That's just kind of, as you said, the way of the world. One other quick thing on Devontae before I move to another subject and we close up today. And this is, I think, apparent just listening to Archie Miller's comments, maybe even some of Devontae Green's, but specifically what Archie has to say, because he's asked about Devontae so much, either because he had a huge performance like against Iowa, or he disappeared and wasn't around at all in a game. But I would love to know on the inside. I think if there's one question I could ask an assistant coach that they would truly answer, I would love to know what the relationship with Archie Miller and Devontae Green is truly like. It has to be one that is up and down and everywhere in between on almost on a regular basis.
Yeah, and I don't know that answer. I don't know. I do know that this has been going on for 3 years. Just, you know, in Devontae's case, it's been going on for 4 years. I mean, he is what he is. He's very talented. But unlike Troy Williams, who is very talented and had all kinds of NBA skill, but it's so erratic in a stick, but he's 6'7", so he got a chance. Devontae Green's got all kinds of NBA skill, but when you're 6'3", you don't have a chance, not if you're inconsistent. So Devontae's been driving everybody nuts at IU for 4 years. I remember 2 years ago, Archie was a freshman coach here, first year. Devontae was a sophomore. I one time, as the game was rolling on, and the game ended in a way that I didn't write this story, but, you know, as the game goes on, you have a bunch of different column ideas in your head on deadline. You better pick one fast and go. One of my ideas, and I was keeping notes during the game, was just to write a whole story about Devontae Green and Archie Miller, and how when Devontae does this, Archie does that. When Devontae's good, I mean, Archie doesn't celebrate much, but when Devontae does his silly stuff, which he does all the time, watching Archie is hilarious, because he has no poker face when it's bad news. I mean, he's just flopping over there. I mean, he's signing storm arms in frustration. I mean, turning his head, covering his eyes. He can't believe what he's watching from Devontae Green. And he had one of those moments, by the way, against Michigan with Justin Smith. I don't know if you saw this, but Justin Smith, and I tweeted out a little video of it. It's a small little video. It's hard to see. But Justin Smith has the ball on the block, you know, 12 feet from the basket. They're way down, so they can't take forever to shoot. But there's still like 15 seconds of shot clock. and he shoots a fading away double pump crap shot that banks in. I mean, just an absolute prayer. And but with time on the shot clock, and Archie's watching this. He's on one knee watching it. The ball goes in, and Archie drops his head like, I'm so embarrassed by that. And it went in. So Archie, when players mess up, just look at Archie real quick. He'll let you know.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Two quick things, and then I'll let you go. And always appreciate your opinions, and you liven up the show, Greg. You told us this was coming. It's out now. I have not read it fully yet. I clicked on it this morning. The 1930 Washington Hatchet, so a little Southern Indiana connection. The first integrated state basketball champions. Now, I thought it was going to be in Indiana. It's in U.S. history. And a very interesting story. Promo it a little bit so people will click it and read it.
Yeah, nobody knows that story. I mean, a few people know, but very few people know. Even in Washington, a guy named David DeJernet, he had the KKK threatening him. Like he was playing in the state tournament despite being told you're going to get killed if you play in the tournament. So the KKK was all over him, and he played anyway. They dominated the game back then, because back then, after every basket, there was a jump ball. That's why the scores were so low. It's one of the reasons. There was literally a jump ball after every basket. Well, guess what? Washington High had a 6'4" kid, which in 1930 was huge, who could jump higher than everybody else. They had the ball. I mean, they played keep away. So they won a state title and almost won two others. And nobody knows that story, the first integrated. I mean, I've become a student of history in this state about basketball, among other things. And I'm embarrassed it took me 5 years to find that one out. I had no idea. I'd never even heard of Dave DeJernet. Didn't even like, oh, yeah, the name rings a bell. No, it didn't ring a bell. Never heard of him. And it's not just me. I was at Washington High walking through the hallways, taking pictures of the team photo and whatnot. And the guy comes walking down the hall and, you know, what are you doing? And he's looking at the photo too. And he goes, and I told him the story. He goes, really, that's the story behind that team? Yeah. He goes, I walk this hall every day. I didn't know that story. Well, who are you? I'm the president of the Booster Club. Didn't know the story. So, I mean, it's an amazing thing.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Final thing.
Sorry, one more thing. The story's interesting also because the guy then moved to Indianapolis. David DeJernet had lived a tragic life. So, yes, what happened? The story is not – in fact, what happened in 1930 is about one-fifth of the story. What brought him to Washington High, what happened to him in life later, you know, it's all very, very interesting.
Greg, final topic for you. Curious your thoughts. I really enjoyed – the NBA All-Star game. I didn't see the full thing, but the second half. But specifically,
good for you.
Specifically that fourth quarter.
Good for you.
What do you think?
You know where I'm going? Good for you, Matt.
No,
good for you.
I don't know where you're going.
I hate the NBA All-Star game. I don't care.
What about the ending? That's my question, the ending of it.
You know what? You got to get me to watch the beginning to make me watch the ending.
Okay, fair enough.
If I'm not turning the TV on, I'm not going to see the ending, and I don't care. They've earned that. They've earned that for 40 years by making that game a joke. And so, so this year I'm supposed to tune in? This year I was asleep. And I woke up the next morning and saw the highlights, and that was great. I mean, I'm not telling you I don't know what happened. I know what happened. But if you're asking me to invest 3 hours, the first 2 hours and 40 minutes of which are complete crap, as a basketball purist, you want me to watch that just so they can finally care for the last 7 minutes? Good for anybody that liked that stuff. The hell with that.
Yeah, I understand. That's why we never talk it, never watch it, but was curious about the ending. And the reason is because that $2 million tournament, when we're all desperate for basketball in the summer, they use that Elam ending, which we've talked about some and had some fun with. And, of course, it's very similar or basically the same format, except they had a set figure, 24 points in honor of Kobe Bryant. So that was my interest, and I think it has some merit to it. I'm not sure it's anything we'll ever see mainstream leagues or games change to, but I definitely thought it added a little twist.
But have you heard, do you know that the Elam guy, it's a person.
Yeah.
Do you know where Elam, do you know where he came from?
He's at Ball State now. I don't know originally where he's from. Is he an Indiana guy originally?
Well, I don't know originally, but yeah, he's a Ball State professor. It's just so cool how, even the stuff I don't like, the big deal stuff in basketball, it's all about Indiana, right? I mean, the guy, they got a Ball State professor who came up with that ending. So that's kind of cool. And by the way, I know people get sensitive. I wasn't down on you when I said, good for you, Matt. That was just my way of expressing disdain to the All-Star game.
If you don't know in 2 or 3 years of all these weekly segments that I'm not an NBA guy. I mean, that's just not at all. So that was a rarity for me to turn it on. I turned it on literally because of the ending. I wanted to see it as a basketball guy, what it was like. So, no offense taken. I'm just glad we caught you on a day and got some great rants, man. The ratings go up when you rant on my show. So, thank you.
Yeah, well, have fans come after me again for doing my job in a fair way, and I'll rant more.
No, keep working hard, Greg. I'm your biggest fan.
My man. Thanks, Matt.
All right, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. And again, Greg Doyle yesterday replaying that in place of Dustin Dopierak today, who we were unable to connect with. And just getting back to college basketball, of course, IU tonight at Minnesota. But getting back to the Big Ten Conference, something I left off in our headlines today, how about Illinois? They go on the road last night and beat Penn State. I've been bragging about how good Penn State has been playing, how good they look, how they're not just an NCAA tournament team, how they're a team that could, you know, win some games, advance multiple rounds into the tournament. But last night, Illinois beat them. It was a close game. Illinois performed well down the stretch. And, of course, for Penn State, they had won 8 in a row heading into that game last night. Illinois had lost 4 in a row heading into the game last night. So just another ongoing example of craziness in the Big Ten Conference. One other reminder before we head to break and come back with Josh Cook, don't forget the 2020 Big X Sports Radio golf cards. They are now available, like hot off the press, just became available earlier today. The Kentucky card has Chariot Run, Woodhaven Country Club, Shelby County Country Club, and Southern Park Country Club. It's only $99. There's an Indiana golf card as well. It has Chariot Run also, Elk Run, Valley View, New Albany Springs, and Christmas Lake, and it's only $89. The best deal, though, is the combo. You can get both of them this year for $169. They've already sold several. They're going fast, I understand, and won't be around for long. So get yours today at bigxsportsradio.com/golf card. Again, bigxsportsradio.com/golf card. We'll head to a break. Josh Cook in studio next. We'll talk some high school basketball, other local sports coming your way right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Wednesday program. News and Tribune News sports editor Josh Cook in studio with me. Josh taking over for Craig Pearson, who still with the paper but steps into another role. And this segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet all of your apparel needs. T-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, and promotional items, screen printing, embroidery, and fully sublimated uniforms, whatever it may be. Let Major League Shirt Company outfit your team or organization today. Visit mlshirtco.com to find out more. First off, Josh, congratulations on the job. Yes, you're the new sports editor at the News and Tribune, but you, sir, are a veteran in covering high school sports, not just in Southern Indiana, but across the river as well. Did you say it's been around 20 years or so now?
Yes, it's going on almost 20 years, yep.
Amazing. So you've seen a lot of events, a lot of athletes. You know a lot of the coaches, so I think obviously a natural path for you to step into that role. We look forward to continued great coverage online in the paper and even getting to chat with you here on Wednesdays.
Yes, yeah, sounds good to me. I'm excited about it, and 20 years, it makes me feel old, man.
Josh Cook, my guest, this segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company. Some high school basketball last night on Tuesday. We're kind of to that point of the year where you got to squeeze them in when you can get them in, and so you'll see more weeknight basketball. In fact, Jeff and Ballard play Thursday night of this week. But last night, some interesting games. Floyd Central was able to use a good second half and put Brownstown away. You mentioned Clarksville before we came on the air. Very interesting game there they had with North Harrison last night.
Yeah, it sounds like it was a run and gun game for the especially in the first half. Davon Fuqua had like 28 points in the first half, I believe, and Ended up with 35s, and North Harrison ended up winning 79, 74, something like that. That was for the de facto third place game in the Mid-Southern Conference. So North Harrison gets third and Clarksville fourth. And meanwhile, at Austin, Silver Creek with a big victory. So, you know, they clinch at least a share of the MSC. They have to win Friday night at Cordon Central to, you know, cap off an unbeaten season there. But and Trey Kaufman had another big game with 30 points, and Brandon Northern had 17 points, and Cooper Jacoby had 16 points and 13 rebounds, I believe. He had a big double-double, so, you know, they keep rolling too.
Yeah, we look ahead to the tournament pairings on Sunday, which will be interesting. We know the tournament, always fun, always interesting, but the pairings kind of give you a little more preview and opportunity to really preview and think ahead as to what could happen. You get a better sense of what the matchups, at least in the first rounds, are going to be and who could potentially play who as they work toward a sectional championship or even beyond. I talk a lot about Seymour, very interested in how those pairings come out. Is there a sectional? Is it Seymour? Is it another sectional locally where you'll be really paying extra attention on Sunday to see how those pairings go, because maybe you think the pairings can help decide who does come out?
Yeah, definitely Seymour is going to be the big one, just because I feel like that one's going to be pretty wide open as far as I can tell. All those teams at the top, you know, Jeff, New Albany, Floyd, Bedford, you know, it seems like any one of these teams could end up winning the sectional. So it's going to be, it's going to be interesting to see how they get paired on Sunday. And, you know, we'll see if what usually happens, Jeff and New Albany get on the opposite side of the bracket. And then we'll see if that happens again. You know, if not, maybe they'll play in the first round or the second or in the semifinals or something. Well, it's going to be interesting, but, you know, that sectional is going to be – should be fantastic, I think.
If you're a basketball fan, even, you know, say Jeff, New Albany, whoever your team is, doesn't play on Tuesday, say they get the lucky bye game, I think you want to be at the games, because even a Seymour or Jennings County have shown this year with scores or wins that they could, on the right night, knock off one of the favorites in the sectional. And then, of course, you get the favorites playing each other, whether they draw each other out of the gate or move through the bracket to play each other. I think it'll be a lot of fun. I think that we'll be in for – I just have a feeling. I think we'll be in for an upset. I don't know what that means mm-hmm. or how it's going to happen or when it's going to happen, but I think Seymour will have a really good vibe to it this year, no question about
that. Yeah, you mentioned Seymour. Even Seymour has been playing well this year at times, so –
yeah,
you know, it's going to be interesting to see. And we get a preview of that tomorrow night, or Friday night, I'm sorry, with Bedford and New Albany. That's going to be, you know, a nice little warm-up. And Bedford trying to, you know, clinch at least a tie of the HHC title, and New Albany can play spoiler there. That's going to be, you know, that should be a great game, and maybe a preview of, potentially a sectional final down the road. Who knows?
Absolutely, yeah. That will be one of the bigger games of the weekend, Bedford-North Lawrence at New Albany. It'll be senior night at the Doghouse. Of course, final game for the seniors like Julian Hunter and Trey Horrigan that have been, it seems like, part of that New Albany program now for a number of years. Josh, the state tournament draw obviously signals that postseason basketball is here. I think kind of another angle to look at, I mentioned this earlier this week, I've had a couple people send in questions along these lines, but, you know, who are the favorites in your mind to win? And I've talked a little bit about Seymour and how open it appears to be, but I think as you drop to 3A and 2A and 1A, there could be a little bit more clear cut, at least in who the favorites are or who the potential winner or winners could be. Silver Creek in 3A. I like Providence's chances in 2A, although likely they'll have to go through or contend with host Southwestern mm-hmm. Hanover. That's a new sectional location mm-hmm. for the Pioneers this year. And then Christian Academy in 1A. I'm curious your thoughts on how you see, at this point, favorites in some of our local sectionals.
Yeah, I would agree with all those. Silver Creek obviously is going to be the favorite at the Charlestown sectional. It's just going to be hard for anybody to beat them in the sectional. And 2A, you mentioned Southwestern and Providence. I think they're both going to be solid. And Clarksville, too. You know, Clarksville could be in the mix in that sectional as well, but I would think Southwestern would be the favorite, you know, playing at home. And then the Class A sectional, yes, Christian Academy. You know, which won a triple overtime game last night, a wild one, I guess, 80-78 at Christian Academy of Louisville. So I would definitely say Christian Academy will be the favorite in the Class A sectional as well.
Josh, before we wrap up today, I know you've also been covering some wrestling lately. That is into the state tournament, and there have been some successful folks locally, some successful wrestlers locally in that. Kind of provide an update, I know, on some of the things you've written about as far as high school wrestling goes.
Yeah, we've got two wrestlers going to state from Floyd Central. Jay Conway is a sophomore, and Jonathan Kervin's a senior, and you know, they both have good chances of definitely placing at state and possibly, you know, winning the state title. I know both of them have, you know, they hope to win the state title, and Floyd Central's had four state champions in the past. Cooper Samuels won two, so, but, you know, they can make a run at Bankers Life this weekend. We'll see.
Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. This segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. Josh, congrats on the promotion. We look forward to your coverage and having you with us Wednesdays to talk through local sports headlines here on the show.
Thank you, Matt.
That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday program. I'll be back tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall will join us. We'll wrap up whatever happens tonight, IU at Minnesota in Big Ten basketball, here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.